Okay, so let's pick up with the Gemara and Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. We've been discussing the machlokas between the Chacham and Reb Tarfon about the nature of Dayo. When do we invoke Dayo? Well, what we basically said, this all started because we were discussing Keren B'Shus and Nizek, Keren B'Shus HaRabim, and what we basically said is that according to Reb Tarfon, he has no problem invoking Dayo. He just says, I'm only going to invoke it if invoking Dayo would not leave the Kal V'Chomer we started with as superfluous, which would be the case in Keren B'Shus and Nizek. His argument basically was is that if you look at the Psukim, without even starting to make any logical deductions, from the Psukim themselves, we know that you're going to pay Chatzi Nezek. The Psukim are not clear. They seem to be saying that you pay Chatzi Nezek no matter where, the damages of Karen occur, regardless of whether the damages are occurring in Rishus HaRabim or in Rishus HaNizek. And so if I start saying a Sivara, Shane and Ragu Rishus HaRabim are Makel, and when it gets to Rishus HaNizek, we're Machmir, so now when it's Karen Rishus HaRabim, so we know that you pay Chatzi Nezek, so when we get to Rishus HaNizek, you should be Machmir and pay Nezek Shalim. And then if I invoke Dayo, what would I say? Well, wait a second, Rishus Rabim, you know that the mashal that we gave before was the cheap hotel and the expensive hotel. If I go to a cheap hotel for the night, it's $100, and now the next night, I walk to a much fancier looking hotel, but I don't know how much to pay. I know that I'm not going to pay less than $100, right? But how much more do I pay? I don't really know. So all I know is that I'm going to be maxed out at the value of the price that I paid for the cheap hotel, because I don't know how much more to pay for the expensive hotel. Is it going to be $200 or $300, $400? So I get maxed out at whatever the cheaper hotel's price was. So in the case for Keren B'Shus and Nizek, Keren B'Shus HaRabim, so the Chacham's argument is that if you use this logic, we wouldn't know how far to pay, how much to pay when you're paying for Keren B'Shus HaNizek. We just know that it's supposed to be more machmer than Keren B'Shus HaRabim, but we don't know how much more machmer. So Dayo says that you can't have to pay more than the source for this payment, which would be Rishus HaRabim's payment. So for Rishus HaRabim, you pay Chatzi Nezek, that's the cheap hotel. So when you get to the fancy hotel, when you get to Rishus HaNizek, we know that you're going to pay more than Chatzi Nezek, but we don't know how much more. So you get maxed out at the price that you'd pay for Chatzi Nezek for Rishus HaRabim, so you get maxed out at Chatzi Nezek. Now, Reb Tarfon says, well, wait a second, so then why'd you bother making logical deductions? That's totally irrelevant now, right? Because at the end of the day, if you start using logic and then you invoke Dayo, so you start off with a nice svara, kal v'chomer, that Rishus HaNizek is more chomer than Rishus HaRabim, but then you invoke Dayo, which leaves you back to square one, because from the psukim themselves, we know that you're already going to have to pay Chatzi Nezek everywhere, no matter where the damages occur. And so therefore, Darfin said, I'm all in favor of invoking Dayo, as long as it doesn't leave the kal v'chomer as superfluous, as unnecessary. Okay, so now the next step is going to be as follows. What that seems to tell us is that if you are in the Chachamim's camp, you hold that you can invoke Dayo even though it leaves the Kal V'Chomer as unnecessary. And if you're in Reb Tarfon's camp, then we invoke Dayo only if it does not leave the Kal V'Chomer as unnecessary. But would it be conceivable to say that I'm not going to invoke Dayo even though invoking Dayo would not leave the Kal V'Chomer as unnecessary? But would that be tenable? Right? From the Chacham, we know that we invoke Dayo no matter what, even if it leaves the Kal V'Chomer unnecessary. And according to Reb Tarfon, I invoke Dayo only if it doesn't leave the Kal V'Chomer as unnecessary. But what about a case where would there be anybody who says that you don't invoke Dayo even though invoking Dayo would not leave the Kal V'Chomer as unnecessary? Presumably not. But says Rav Papa Tabayi, so we'll start a little bit more than halfway down. The first one in line is Shell. Amrali Rav Papa Labaya, Rav Papa says Tabayi, Vaha Hai Tana, Delo Darish Dayo. There is a Tana out there. There is this Tana, the following Tana we're going to discuss, who does not Darish in Dayo, who does not hold that you can invoke the concept of Dayo, Va'avagav, the limit for Kal V'Chomer, even though invoking Dayo would not result in the Kal V'Chomer being questioned. It would not result in the Kal V'Chomer being unnecessary. Where do you see such a thing? Where do you see somebody who holds that you don't invoke Dayo, even though invoking Dayo would not render the Kal V'Chomer as unnecessary? D'tanya, we have the following braisa. Keri b'zav minayin. How do you know about a keri in a zav? What does that mean, keri by a zav? So the halacha basically is like this. We discussed this before, that a zav is a person, is a man, who discharges fluid as a result of an illness, right? He has some illness. As a result of that illness, he discharges fluid. A zava is a woman who discharges fluid as a result of an illness. This is not, for a woman, let's say, for a woman who's a zava, this is not part of the standard menstrual cycle. This is not the same thing as nida. This is where she is discharging fluid as a result of an illness. Now, the halacha is that when a man or a woman discharges fluid in a state of zivos, when a man is a zava or a woman is a zava, they are tame, and the fluid that they discharge is also tame. Now remember, anytime that we're talking about tuma, we're going to measure the strength of the tuma. We're going to measure the power of the tuma based on two things. Number one, the things that it can be mitame, and number two, the way that it can be mitame things, right? And that's what we usually talk about. Whenever we talk about tuma, can this item be metame a person? Can it be metame kelim? Can it be metame food? If it can be metame food, what kind of food? Can it be metame chulin? Can it be metame truma? Can it be metame kachim? Etc. So one thing is going to be the target. The second thing is going to be the way of the means of transmission. Can it be metame by means of coming into direct contact by maga? Is it metame al derech masa, that if you lifted it up without coming into direct contact with it, would you become tamei? If you were in the same ohel, if you were under the same roof as this item, would it become tamei? So all those things, those are always the two questions here that we're talking about whenever we're talking about tuma. So now when we talk about keri by a zav, now the halacha is for zav, the fluid of a zav is tamei, and it is mitamei al derech maga and al derech masa. What that would mean is that let's say a zav's discharge lands on clothing. So if the clothing themselves are tame, well, let's say that clothing would find its way into a laundry basket, and you're not touching the clothing, but you're carrying the clothing down in the laundry basket. That means that you are now tame because you have become tame al derech masa by lifting up the tame item, the fluid. Or the kelim. Well, not the kelim so much, but the fluid. So that would be tame al derech maga and al derech masa. But that's for the fluid that's discharged by itself. What about keri? Keri, which we translate as seminal emission, is not the same thing as fluid that's discharged as a result of an illness. The rules for keri are a little bit different. Keri, the emission that's made by a perfectly healthy tahor man, is tame, and it is metame only al derech maga. It is not metame al derech masa. So that would mean that, let's say, the kelim that the discharge, that the emission hits, if let's say it lands on clothing, that clothing will become tame. Okay, so now the question is as follows. So keri is metame only al derech maga, but ziva, the fluid that's discharged by a zav as a result of his illness, is metame al derech maga and al derech masa. The question is, what about if I have keri that's being released by a zav? What's the halacha for that keri? We know, and that this is what we're going to say, is that the keri that's released by a zav is metame al derech maga and al derech masa. The question is, how does that work? So the braisa tells us that there's a svara. Again, detanya keri b'zav minayin. How do you know that the keri of a zav is metame al derech maga and al derech masa? V'dinu, it's a svara. What's the svara? Ma tahor b'tahor, tame b'tame. Just as tahor fluids, let's say, coming out of a tahor person. What's an example of a tahor fluid in this case? Would be spit. If a tahor person, if a tahor man expectorates, he releases spit. That spit is tahor, obviously, right? The spit that comes out of a regular, normal, healthy, tahor person is tahor. But let's say that spit now comes out of a tameh person. So if a tameh person, a zav, releases spit, it is tameh. So ma tahor, something that is naturally tahor, when it is released from a tahor person, so ma tahor b'tahor, just as something that is tahor, like spit, in a tahor person, is still tame b'tame. It's tame when it is from a tame person. It's tame, that spit is tame if it is released by a tame person. So for example, for a zav, the spit that's released by a zav, if a zav expectorates, that fluid, that spit, is metame al derech masa. So Tamei bitars, if I'm dealing with something that's more naturally tamei, in other words, keri, which when it's released from a tahor person, the keri itself, the fluid itself, is tamei, such that the fluid can be metamei things al derech maga, right? If it lands on clothing, the clothing becomes tamei. So tamei bitar, if I have something that's naturally tamei, even when it's coming out of a tahor person, inodin shi'tamei b'tamei. So then certainly that fluid should be tamei when it is coming out of a tamei person. And so therefore keri coming out of a zav should be tamei, it should be mitamei, just like keri that's coming out of a tahor person is tamei. Okay, so that is the svara. But the big question right now is going to have to be, well, you're saying now, okay, that in logically speaking, just as keri coming out of a tahor person is tamei, so too keri coming out of a tamei person should also be tamei. The question is, to what extent should it be tamei? Remember, keri in general, keri out of a tahor person, is tamei, it's metamei only al derech maga. We have, when we talk about zav, when we talk about the fluids that are released by a zav as a result of the illness, it's metamei al derech maga and al derech masa. So when we talk about keri coming out of a zav, what should it be? V'kamaisila bein lamaga bein lamasa. We apply that, we bring that out, that we say that the tuma of the fluid coming out of a zav, if it's a keri fluid, it's still going to be metamei al derech maga and al derech masa. The same way that spit is metame al derech maga and al derech masa, so too keri coming out of a zav is going to be metame al derech maga and al derech masa. Let's put the logic together again. When it comes to spit, something that's more naturally tahor, in other words, when it's coming out of a tahor person, if that item itself is tahor. So now I find that if spit comes out of a zav, not only is it tame, it's metame al derech maga and al derech masa. So now if I have something that's more naturally tamei, for example, keri, when it's coming out of a tahor person, it's more naturally tamei, it's metamei al derech maga. So when it comes out of a tamei person, like a zav, it should certainly be metamei al derech maga and al derech masa. Just like spit, when spit is normal, coming out of a normal healthy person, it's not even metamei at all. But when it comes out of a zav, it gets bumped up to the most severe status of tuma, at least for our purposes, which would be metamei al derech maga and al derech masa. So keri, which is more naturally tamei, even when coming out of a tahor person, it's tamei. So when it comes out of a tamei person, it should be metamei al derech maga and al derech masa. It should be no worse than spit. So now the question is, va'amai, but why should that be? Why should we say that the keri coming out of a zav should be metame al derech maga and al derech masa? Neima, ahani kavuchomer lemaga. I would say maybe the kavuchomer should help for maga. Ahani dayo lafuke masa. And I would invoke dayo. Dayo helps to take out masa. Meaning to say that dayo would tell you, look, keri coming out, your whole basis is based on keri of a tahor person. Well, keri of a tahor person is metame only al derech maga. So when I get to keri coming out of a tummy person, you should be maxed out. You don't know how much more chomer the tumah should be, so you should get maxed out at whatever the status of tumah is when it's coming out of a tahor person. And so therefore, I would say, use the svara, that's true, use the svara to say that if zav is more chomer than a tahor person, that, or a tummy person for that matter, I shouldn't go there. If zav is more chomer when it's coming out of a tahor person, So then we know that it should be more chomer. We don't know how much more chomer. So invoke the kavu chomer, telling you that keri coming out of a zav should be tamei, but use dayo to temper that, to tell you that you get maxed out at whatever the tuma of keri coming out of a tahor person is. Now, wait a second. So at this stage of the Gemara, what do you see then? You see that even though I can invoke a kavu chomer, and using dayo would not result in the kavu chomer being superfluous, we don't invoke dayo. Right? We don't invoke dayo in this case. We say that the keri coming out of a zav is tamei al derech it's metamei al derech maga and al derech masa. We don't invoke dayo. Why don't we invoke dayo? Invoking dayo would not relieve the kavu chomer as unnecessary. So the Gemara says, wait a second, is that true though? Maybe the kavu chomer is not necessary. Maybe the kavu chomer doesn't get off the ground. Maybe you'll tell me that for maga in the first place, I don't need a kavu chomer. Why wouldn't I need a kavu chomer to tell you that keri coming out of a zav is tamei? I'll tell you why. Because keri coming out of any person is tamei. So keri coming out of a zav, there's nothing that changed. There's no reason that he should be any different. He's like any regular person. Keri coming out of a regular person is tamei. So keri coming out of a zav is tamei. he's no different than a regular person. So delogar migarvei tar, right? Because v'chidem lemagel loisro kavachar. Maybe you tell me I don't need you to tell me that carry coming out of a zav is matam el derech maga, because delogar migarvei tar, you shouldn't be any worse than a regular, normal, healthy tahar person. And in which case, then I don't start with a kavachomer. So you didn't have any indication about starting with a kavachomer and not invoking doubt. We're not starting with a kavachomer. I don't need a kavachomer to tell me that carry. Carry coming out of his is tummy. So the Gemara says, no, don't tell me that I don't need the kavachomer. I do need the kavachomer. Why do I need a kavachomer? Itzrach, I still need a kavachomer. Because I would have thought, mikra laila, because if the pasuk about tumas carry says it's a mikra laila, and maybe what that means is, misha kerio garm lo, it's specifically a person whose carry is what's causing him to release fluids. It's what's the carry that's causing him to be tummy. Yatzazed, so that's the to the exclusion of this guy, Shane Kerry Garmlo, it's not his carry alone that's causing him to discharge, to become Tameh, Eladavaracha Garmlo, it's something else that's causing him to discharge, to become Tameh. And so therefore, maybe when I have carry coming out of a Zav, maybe it doesn't fit into this Pasuk. Maybe the Pasuk is telling you that carry applies only when it's Mikra Lila, when it's only Mikra. When it's only mikra, when it's only carry, that's the trigger. But the trigger for discharge for tumah would be his status as a zav, his illness, then maybe you're not tummy and kamash lan. So therefore, I would need the kavachomer to tell me that there is such a thing as carry coming out of a zav being tummy al derech maga. So where does this leave us at this point? So again, the name of the game is to try to say, right, that a Rapape had this kasha. Isn't there a Tana out there who does not invoke Dio, even though invoking Dio would not leave the Kavachomer as superfluous? There's a Kavachomer by carry coming out of a Zav, that if carry coming out of a Tahar person is Tame, so carry coming out of a Zav is going to be Mitame. And to what extent is it Mitame? It's Mitame al Derech Maga, and it should be Mitame al Derech Masa. But the question is, why don't you invoke Dio? Why don't I invoke Dio to say that the carry coming out of his off should not be metame al derech masa? And don't tell me it's gonna leave the kavachomer as irrelevant, as unnecessary, because that's not true. We would still use the kavachomer to teach us that carry coming out of his off is metame al derech maga. So the kavachomer is still plenty helpful. Maybe you'll tell me I don't need a kavachomer for maga, because a zav shouldn't be any different than any other person. So, no, that's not true. I do need a kavachomer to teach me maga, because from the psukim themselves, I don't know that carry should apply by azav. Maybe the psukim of carry are limited to when the trigger for discharge is carry and not anything else, not an illness. So, I do need a kavachomer, which means that I have a kavachomer, and I could have invoked Dio, and invoking Dio would not have resulted in the kavachomer being unnecessary. So, you see that there's a Tana out there who doesn't invoke Dio, even though invoking Dio would not result in the kavachomer being unnecessary. So, says the Gemara, you messed up on your interpretation of that pasuk. Did the pasuk say anything about how it's this way and only this way and not something else? V'lo davar, not something else? Did the pasuk say it's got to be where the trigger is only as a result of carry, but not when the resulting, the thing that triggers the discharge is maybe an illness? Did the pasuk say anything like that? No, the pasuk didn't. The pasuk didn't specify. And so therefore, from the pasuk itself, I would have deduced that carry coming out of any person, whether it's a healthy person, whether it's a tahar person, whether it's a tummy person, all carry that's discharged should be tummy. It should be ben tummy al derech maga. In which case, I don't need the kavachomer anymore, right? So I don't need a kavachomer to tell me this point anymore, which means that yes, exactly, this shita is holding that I can invoke Dio as long as I don't result in the kavachomer being unnecessary. He's in Reb Tarfon's camp. So you don't see anybody out there who holds that you don't invoke Dio, even though invoking Dio would result in the kavachomer being unnecessary. So now the Gemara says, okay, great. Mantana de shamet le da'amar shech v'zer shal zav metame masa. Wait a second. Who is that Tana who holds that the shech v'zer v'zav is metame even al derech masa? Who is that opinion? Right? You just told me that using this kavachomer, I can say that maga and masa, right? I'm going to say that tumas carry coming out of a zav, this carry coming out of a zav is going to be matam al derech maga and al derech masa. Who holds that way? So the Gemara says, well, lo Rabbi Elazar, lo Rabbi Yeshua. It's not Rabbi Eliezer and it's not Rabbi Yeshua. How do I know it's not Rabbi Eliezer and it's not Rabbi Yeshua? And the Gilon changes this to the Tan, as we learn in the Braisa. What does the Braisa say? The Braisa says, shichva zera shal zav. If you have the seminal emission of a zav, metame b'maga, ve'ein metame b'masa. Divrei Rebbi Eliezer. So Rebbi Eliezer right off the bat is not who our Tana, because he says that shech v'zera coming out of his oeuf is metame only al derech maga, not al derech masa. Okay, so Rebbi Eliezer is out. Rebbi Yeshua Omer, Rebbi Yeshua says, af metame b'masa. So Rebbi Yeshua says, no, a shech v'zera coming out of his oeuf can be metame al derech maga and al derech masa. Now wait a second, so then Rebbi Yeshua maybe is a potential candidate. But no, he's not. Why? Because look at his lumdus. What's the reason why he says that carry coming out of a zav should be metame al derech masa? Because it's impossible for the zav to have had a discharge even of carry without tzuchi, like a hints, like traces of ziva fluid. In other words, ziva fluid we know is metame al derech maga and al derech masa. When the zav is releasing shechva zera, along with that zera, the shechva zera that's being released, there are also traces of ziva fluid. And if there are traces of ziva fluid, then it's going to be metame al derech maga and al derech masa. But it's not being metame al derech masa because of the unique characteristic, because of the nature of the keri. It's because of the ziva fluid that's mixed into it. And so, so therefore, both of these Tanam, Rebbi Eliezer and Rebbi Yeshua, can't be candidates for this Tana, right? They can't be the Tana who holds that carry coming out of his oeuf is metame al derech maga and al derech masa, because neither of them hold that way. Rebbi Eliezer holds that carry coming out of his oeuf is not metame al derech masa, and Rebbi Yeshua holds that it is metame al derech masa. It's metame al derech masa only because it's got traces of ziva fluid in there as well. So Adkan, and the Gemara spells this out, right? Adkan look amar Rebbi Yeshua hasam. Rebbe Yeshua says it over there that it's, that carry coming out of his oeuf is matam al derech masa only elishi efshar b'lo tzuch ziva, only because of this point that it's impossible to have carry released from his oeuf without traces of ziva fluid halav hachilo. But without that point, the carry fluid itself would not be matame al derech masa. Okay, so it can't be the Tana, can't be Rebbe Eliezer, can't be Rebbe Yeshua. So who is the Tana who holds that carry coming out of a zav can be metame al derech maga and al derech masa because of the unique properties of carry? So ella haytana, rather it is this Tana. Which Tana? The Tana, as we learn in the opening Mishnayos in Kalim. If you look at the opening Mishnayos in Kalim, they go through different levels of Tumah. Again, whenever we're talking about Tumah, there's two questions that we have in our mind. Number one is, we're going to be measuring the strength, the power, the Chomer of that Tumah based on the target, the things that it can be mitame. Can it be mitame people? Can it be mitame Kalim? Can it be mitame food? When we're talking about food, are we talking about chulin? Are we talking about chum? Are we talking about kachum, etc.? And the means of transmission. How is it being metame? Is it being metame by direct contact, by maga, by masa, etc.? So those are always the questions. So the opening mishnahs of Kalim give you a progression of tumos, of things that are tame and they're metame in specific ways and only specific things. So the mishnah is opened up by discussing the tumah of a sheretz, of shechva zera, and of tame mace. And it says that sheretz and shechva zera and tame mace are metame only al derech maga, not more. So the means of transmission for those tumas is only through direct contact. Ela haytanahu, so it's the following tana, d'tnan, l'malamayhan, so after the Mishnayos go through the tuma of sheretz and of shechva zera and of tumas mes, so the and of tamei mes, excuse me, the Mishnayos then go on to say, l'malamayhan, well above those, meaning a higher status of tuma, is zovoshol zav, is the fluid that's discharged by a zav, viroko and his spit, vishichvazaro and the shichvazera of a zav, the carry of a zav, umemi raglov and his urine, vidamanida or damanida, all of those fluids, mitamin bein b'maga, bein b'masa. They can transmit tuma by means of maga and by means of masa if you came into direct contact with them or if a person lifted them up, if something lifted them up. So, what do you see? You see that the shechva zera of azav is metame al derech maga and al derech masa. So that's our Tana. We were looking for a Tana who says that shechva zera, the carry coming out of azav, can be metame al derech maga and al derech masa. That's this Tana of the Mishnah Kalim. Wait a second, but we know that when we talked about Rabbi Yeshua said that carry coming out of his oeuf is metame al derech masa. And he gave a lumdus. What was his lumdus? His lumdus was because the carry coming out of his oeuf it can't be that it doesn't have any traces of ziva fluid. But maybe that's what the Tana in Kalim also holds. Maybe he holds that the shechva zera coming out of azav is metame al derech masa only because he holds like Rabbi Shua's lamdis. That is because it can't be that there's no traces of ziva fluid. V'duma hachanami, maybe this too, that Tana as well, l'fishi efshar b'lo tzichtzuch ziva. Maybe that's only because it's impossible where there's no for there to be no traces of ziva fluid. So says the Gemara, No, because I'll tell you, if that were correct, you should have restructured the Mishnah. It should have been presented in a different order. Remember, what was the order of the Mishnah? The order of the Mishnah was Lamala Mehen, Ar Zovu Shozov, Roko, and Shechva Zara. But if you're telling me that the only reason Shechva Zara is Matame is that it has traces of Ziva fluid, where should it have been in the Mishnah? Not after the word Rok, it should have been after the word Zovu Shozov, right? If that would have been a more natural progression, it should have been Zovu Shozov, and then also Shechva Zaro of Azov, because that also contains the Ziva fluid of Azov, right? So Imkain listening to Gavazov, because if that were correct, then it should have taught that right next door to Zovo. Maishna Dektani Lagabi Roko. Why did it teach it specifically by Roko, right after the spit of Azov? Elimishum da Asimi Roko. It's because we learn it out using Roko, using the spit of Azov, meaning to say, right, this is what we talked about, the Savar that we talked about in this Braisa, that we know that Roko coming out of a Tahar person is Tahar. And even so, when Roko comes out of Azov, it's metame al derech maga and al derech masa. So if I have keri, which comes out of, which when it's coming out of a tahor person is tame, so certainly tame al derech and metame al derech maga. So certainly if it's coming out of a tame person, out of a zav, it should be metame al derech maga and al derech masa. And it's because of that svar, it's because of that lumdis that we lump shechva zera of a zav together with the rok of a zav in that mishnah. Okay, so just to put it all together, to organize, to summarize very, very briefly, just to keep our head straight of what the agenda is, where the agenda of the Gemara is headed, is that what we said is there's machlokas tanan between Reb Tarfon and the Chachamim about whether we invoke Dayo even though it would leave the Kal V'chomer unnecessary. Reb Tarfon says, no way, Jose, we don't invoke Dayo if it leaves the Kal V'chomer as unnecessary. The Chachamim say, no, I have no problem really invoking Dayo even if it leaves the Kal V'chomer that we start with as unnecessary. So Reb Papa said, aye, but there's a tan out there who holds that we don't invoke Dayo even though invoking Dayo would not leave the Kal V'chomer as unnecessary. Who's that Tana? That's the Tana in the context of Keri by Zav. So the Gemara said, aye, maybe the Svara that you're using for Keri Zav is not really necessary. Maybe you don't need a Kal V'chomer. The Gemara said, no, we do need a Kal V'chomer there. So you see that there's a Kal V'chomer in the context of Keri by Zav. And even so, even though Dayo wouldn't leave the Kal V'chomer as unnecessary, we still don't invoke Dayo. So what's Pshat? So the answer is, no, you messed up Pshat in your interpretation of the Pesukim. We don't need a Kal V'chomer. The Kal V'chomer is not what we're starting with. And so if that's the case, that's not true. We don't need a Kal V'chomer to teach us the principal point of Maga. Okay, so the Gemara then said, okay, wait a second. So once we brought up this Shita that holds that Shechva Zera V'Zav is Matame al Derech Maga, and al Derech Masa, whose opinion is that? So we say it's not Rav Elazar, it's not Rav Yeshua. We eliminate them based on their positions in this Braisa about Shechva Zera V'Zav. And then we say, who is the Tana who holds that Keri coming out of Azav is Matame al Derech Maga and al Derech Masa? That's the opinion presented in the opening Mishnayos of the in Kalim. All right, let's hold here.